Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, guys.
We start every show, I feel, or at least I do, with, hey, everyone. Do I need a new sign-on?
I don't know, because it seems so basic to me. And one of my best friends and my girlfriend always like, hey, guys, yeah. It's Darren, making fun of me for how I say everything all the time. So I feel like I'm owning my own stereotype here.
Well, don't
here.
Let them bring you down, by the way.
You know what? I cry every night, and it's getting better and better.
Oh,
but
good.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Welcome to Martinis and Murder.
We want to start off really quickly and just say a huge thank you to everyone
huge.
Who came out to see us at Caroline's on Broadway last week. We met a ton of fans, took a lot of pictures. We had so much fun.
I had too much fun. Yeah. That was my problem.
I heard that you actually had too much fun.
That's the second. That's a part two that we'll talk about later.
For everyone who wants to hear that show, it's actually last week's episode.
Episode 40.
40.
Yes.
And you can hear the progress of Darren's martinis.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the end of the episode, you can probably guess how many she's had.
My friend Erin was like, oh, I curse a lot. You know, and she knows me more. She's like, definitely. No, I can hear your potty mouth for sure. Day later. Oh, my God. Your potty mouth? Day later. I was like, I'm sorry.
We got some feedback from Twitter users as well.
Yep.
It is what it is. You know, if you don't like the product we make, then, you know.
I suffer for my craft.
Yes, you do.
And I must have been a sailor in another life. Yeah. I will be better. I always am encouraged to improve myself. No one is perfect.
No, for sure.
So I've learned my lesson.
And that's the great thing about Martinis and Murder is there's always a moral to the story.
Always, yes.
And from last week's episode, it was
don't
clearly
do live episodes? Oh,
yes.
Okay. Yeah, don't
also,
drink.
Matt
be an adult.
Made dry martinis, and they were very strong. So it's kind of his fault.
I would love to blame Matt for this.
Yeah.
Thank you, John. But
yeah, you're welcome.
Honestly, we had a surprisingly just amazing turnout. We didn't know what to expect.
We were just
backstage just being like, we're just going to have fun with it. It's going to be great.
And it
ended up being more than we ever expected. So thank you to everyone who came out and supported. We really, really appreciate it.
And we may do more of these, but let us know what city or town you're in so that we can get a sense of where our fans are. We can see on like the back end of the podcast, you know, like big cities, you know?
Right,
but,
of course.
But if there's a specific town, let us know. I mean, we want to potentially do more of these. I know there was a lot of people from LA were really disappointed they couldn't come to the
John,
New York
City. John, let's be clear. We just want to travel and drink.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Give us reasons to travel
Give us
and drink.
Reasons to travel and drink for our jobs.
There you go.
Thank you.
Let's get to voicemail announcements quickly.
Yes. So we were off for a few weeks with the voicemails, and honestly, we got a flood of them recently.
Yes.
So thank you so much for leaving them to us. We're definitely listening to them. I spent a good portion of my time yesterday listening to them, cracking up at my desk. Matt is heavily featured in every
Absolutely.
Single one of them.
Yeah.
Please continue to call us and give us feedback. You could appear on a future episode of the podcast.
Yeah, the number is in the episode description on your device, but if you just cannot wait, you want to get on your phone right now, the number is 212-664-2072. Feedback.
That's a great phone number. That's a really good looking phone number.
Preferably if you could yell at Matt, that would be great. Darren, we've both been at the beach a lot this summer.
Yeah, I just got back from 5 days in the Hamptons.
And I've practically been living at Rockaway Beach in New York City.
And not to be vain, with all of that sun and salt water, how do we look so good?
Well, we both started using Kapari Beauty's line of products made from 100% organic coconut oil.
And all of their products are all natural with no sulfates, silicones, GMOs, or parabens. And you're an animal lover, right, John?
Yep.
Well, all of their products are cruelty-free.
That's awesome. And I've been using the sheer oil as a face moisturizer, and it's so light, it doesn't even feel like you have anything on.
I've been using their Body Glow, and the shimmer is amazing. It makes my skin look so healthy in the summer.
You really do look so summery and shimmery, and you smell amazing.
Say aloha to your best skin and hair of your life with Kapari. Go to KapariBeauty.com/martinis to get 20% off your order. That's Kapari, K-O-P-A-R-I, beauty.com/martinis for 20% off. KapariBeauty.com/martinis. Well, Matt, we have to say welcome back to him. You actually, guys, record this now. Matt, you did a decent job at Caroline's. I'm not going to say great job.
We can't say great.
I was drunk and I was hungover the next day. So, no, it wasn't that great for me.
That's right.
The following day.
He made things very difficult for you, in fact.
He did. But you know what?
What?
The thing I realized about Matt is he's a great sport, yeah. And he let me throw olive pits at him.
I was going to say, you were already kind of attacking him the whole night.
I didn't get fired, which I thought I was going to get fired, because on Friday you sent me a text. You were like, we need to talk. And it was like 2 hours later I called you. I was like, am I fired? Is Matt pissed?
No.
What's going on? And you're like, I'm sorry. I was on the subway and we just
it
wanted to like debrief
to
about
do.
The night. But
yeah.
I panicked. So Matt, thank you. You did an okay job at Caroline's. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. A couple fans were able to see his true identity.
And which is,
yeah,
that's big.
Big.
That's big.
So if you do come to any of our future shows, you're going to get that.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Maybe happening. A dick pic. Who knows?
Maybe.
There's
a
lot that could come out of Matt at any given point in time. Matt, we're going to need you to get on the helm here because we want to know what the fuck we're drinking.
And he has a big announcement.
So he says.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see.
Here we go, Matt. You can take over my mic.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks for coming out to see us at Caroline's. Actually, I did not do a good job. It was terrible. I will never speak at a live show again.
Oh, God.
You looked very murdery, though.
I did look scary as hell.
Yeah.
That is true. So this week, we are having kind of a concoctatini.
Okay.
It has vodka, and it has some strawberry hibiscus in it.
It's like an essential oil, it feels like.
The reason is Arizona plays a role in the murder this week.
Yes, it does.
And hibiscus grows very well there. And that's about it.
Oh,
and Grand Marnier.
Oh, fancy.
In the drink. The announcement is I'm on Instagram. Is that the announcement?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Oh, I put it here for you.
Oh, okay.
Because you can't remember a fucking announcement.
@Matt_the_bartender.
That's correct. Right. Follow him.
Thank you.
You'll have creepy pictures from time to time, I think, of you and me and then him just secretly being in the background.
We're really excited about this, actually, because frankly, a lot of our feedback, a lot
he's more popular than us.
Is about Matt and how we, punch him around a little bit. So Matt now has an official Instagram. Maybe it'll get verified. That would be hilarious.
That would be hilarious. And I think he's got 3 followers. I think it's me, you, and him.
Me, you, and him, yeah. Maybe Oxygen.
Follows himself, yeah.
And we're going to be posting things on there. Well, Matt will be, actually. So feel free to interact and check that out.
Please do. Yeah. He needs friends.
6.
Oh, he has 6. He has 6 followers.
Nice.
Guys, go out there and just support him because, you know, this is our little make-a-wish for him.
I'm
you
dying.
Okay there, John?
No, I'm not. Okay.
You know what would help with your throat?
Not being in a
fucking
hot
hibiscus.
Room.
That's what would help.
Hibiscus drink would be nice.
If Matt, stopped following his Instagram.
Good, though?
No, it does sound really good.
Oh.
He didn't, ooh.
Oh, I got
you know, he didn't explain the parts of vodka, parts of hibiscus. So, given the fact that it's a concoctatini, who the fuck gives a shit? Just get drunk.
And on that note, let's get right into this week's murder.
I'm really excited about this murder.
Actually, this week's murder is brought to you by a fan voicemail.
It is.
Which is really exciting. So let's listen to that voicemail now.
Hi, Darren and John. This is Kate O from Long Island. And I guess, hi, Matt, too, when he's not throwing orange peels. I love your guys' show. I do it every week. You posted a little late, but I'll forgive you. I was waiting up all night You're one of my favorite podcasts. I love listening to you guys every Sunday. I listen to you on my way to work. I listen to you at work. I told everybody at work about you guys, and now they're listening. So you guys are just great. You're funny. I love it. One suggestion I would say would be, could you guys do the Jodi Arias case? I'm pronouncing that right, but that's always interesting me. I think it would be a good one. So that's it. I love you guys. Okay, bye.
So that is great. Thank you so much for that voicemail. We have been wanting to do Jodi Arias.
We've gotten a bunch of like Instagram tweets. This is not the first. I mean, we all heard of Jodi Arias before. Right. This has probably been the number one case, I think, for us to cover as of late.
Yeah. So this is one of the most infamous murders of the 2000s. And since it's such an insane story, we're going to be doing this in two parts.
Yep.
So this is part one. Next week's episode will be part two. So get ready for that.
Absolutely. We're going to break it down as best as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's, while Matt's working on our drinks, we'll start the show here.
We
might as well. Yeah. Let's talk about Travis Alexander. Now, this was her boyfriend who was murdered,
right?
As everyone probably knows who watches the news. Travis grew up in Riverside, California as one of seven kids.
Damn.
I know we talk about a lot of people having kids on this show, but I don't think we've ever had seven. Who has had seven kids.
I feel like four is pushing it.
Yeah, exactly.
If you have three kids, I'm like, okay, that's a big family, but it's not the worst.
Right.
Four, you're borderline of just that's like, oh my God, how do you afford that?
Right. His parents, according to CBS's 48 Hours, were crystal meth addicts. According to Snap, the parents would go on benders and then sleep for days. And when Travis was very young, he was often not fed well and lived in a house full of roaches and lice.
That's terrible.
So yeah, I mean, imagine this with seven kids. I mean, that's a horrible
That's not
scenario.
Growing up in the right circumstances.
No. Travis's sister told 48 Hours that they lived in poverty and their parents divorced when they were young. His brother told 48 Hours as well that at times he lived in a tent at a campground with his mom. So, I mean, that's pretty much, you don't have anything going for
you. It's an unstable childhood,
right.
I would say.
Yeah, poverty stricken.
They were not glamping.
No, that's not glamping.
They were not glamping.
Good way to put it. When Travis was 10 years old, his grandparents rescued him and his siblings. His grandparents became very influential to him and raised him Mormon.
Okay.
When Travis met Jodi in 2006, he had become a leader in the church. He was a very strong personality and excelled at leadership and sales. So, I mean, if you think about the fact that you were sleeping on a tent in a campground and now you're
come a long way.
Yeah, that's kind of impressive. In fact, he was a sales executive at Prepaid Legal, which offered affordable legal representation for a monthly fee. So that's a really great success story, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's also working for something that, I mean, listen, it's providing affordable legal representation here like that.
Right.
There's nothing better than that. I'm a huge advocate for it. So
totally. He's
doing good in the world and really turning his life around.
Yeah. And, you know, we need good legal representation just based on the murders we've talked about.
Absolutely.
Travis had also become a motivational speaker within the company and spoke at seminars and conferences and was generally considered to be an inspiration. So not only was he great, but he was somebody that people looked to.
Absolutely.
A friend of Travis's said, quote, he had a beautiful 4,000 square foot home, quite different than a campground.
Yeah.
A BMW. Matt. Okay. Sounded like a rattlesnake.
Oh.
I was like, is he doing that? Just
I was
to,
like, why
like,
are you? I did not get it.
Yeah, it's okay. Our drinks are coming. He had a beautiful 4,000 square foot home, a BMW, and a lifestyle of a rock star. This is what Travis's friend said.
You know, when I read this, it just seemed like such a big jump from going from like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm, you know, 10 being rescued by my grandparents. I'm a Mormon.
Totally.
I'm working here. And all of a sudden I have a 4,000 square foot home. Now, granted, he's not living in New York City, but let me get on that path.
I know. What's that career
Jeez.
Path? What are we doing here? Podcasting.
Ooh. These are gorgeous looking.
They are, just for those of you listening, it's like a deep maroon, almost like a cranberry.
Oh my
look.
God, I was going to say it's like a deep hot pink.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right.
With lime.
With a lime garnish. Wet.
Love a garnish.
Love a garnish.
You know I love a garnish.
As long as you're not getting hit in the face with them. Yes, we're getting to the roommates part now.
Matt,
moving
if
us
you
around.
Didn't serve our drinks, we could get to the story. But do you want to hop
Matt's
on the mic?
Matt's giving us notes that we're about to talk to.
Literally.
So let's just...
Ruining the whole thing.
Matt,
let's
do
cheers,
you have your
bitch.
Drink? We need to do a quick cheers, bitch. A clink and drink.
Cheers,
as
bitches.
Our friend Travis says.
Yes.
Cheers, bitches.
It's so pretty.
It is. I don't even want to drink it. It's so nice. How's yours?
Ooh.
Strong.
Good.
Ooh, that is strong. It kind of tastes like sangria.
It does a little
or
bit.
Something.
Or sangria margarita.
Yeah.
anyway.
I'll be sipping on that. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
As Matt mentioned, because he was jumping ahead, he did have a couple of roommates. We'll get to more of the roommate stuff later, but, you know, we
but
talked
still,
about...
still, a 4,000 square foot home for roommates. Yeah. Again, get me on that lifestyle.
Well, it was, you know, did he have six juggalo roommates like we talked about in our last, you know, episode during our live show?
Oh, God, I don't want to be living in that apartment. Yeah.
At Prepaid Legal's conference in Vegas, a lavish dinner was being held for executives. Travis didn't have a date for the dinner, and a coworker suggested Jody, an attractive new hire from California. Outside the executive dinner, Travis and Jody met for the first time. A friend of Travis's remembered, quote, "I was standing with Travis in line to get into the event when she came walking through the crowd, and, you know, he was quite thrilled with her." So, okay, everything seems normal thus far.
Did you look up pictures? I mean, I'm sure you know or remember what Jodi Arias looks like. And
yeah, totally. We just recently did an episode of Snapped, like, I think a year or two ago.
That discusses it?
And we talk about some of those quotes and things from there. And, yeah, it was the Jodi Arias stuff, so I remember exactly what she looked like. Yeah. Jody knew Travis was very influential and she was into him. Another friend said, quote, "That first night that they met, they hung out till about 4 o'clock in the morning." So
do you have any experience with this? Like your first meeting with someone and you just feel that energy, and normally staying up to 4 o'clock in the morning, you're like, I'd never do that. But there's something about this energy with a person that you just feel like you could stay up all night talking.
Absolutely. Yes. And I thought you were going to ask, have I ever stayed up until 4 o'clock in the morning with a friend? Because I was going to cite Darren.
The time you were on crystal meth and lived in a tent for a year?
Not that time.
Okay, not that
but
time.
But another time when you and I were out pretty late.
Yeah, that was a New late. York City. In fact, I think I left you and I was like, I'm going home.
Yeah, this was before Martinis and Murder.
I think the sun was coming up and I was like, John, I'm leaving. I'm too old for this.
It's time to go, yeah. And when they left Las Vegas, they stayed in constant contact, Jody and Travis. Travis lived in Mesa, Arizona, and Jody lived in Palm Desert, but they would meet on the weekends, even though it was like a 5-hour drive. So again, I think we've talked recently about other people who were doing this long distance relationship thing. Like I said, it never turns out well. And court records, according to the Huffington Post, show that the two exchanged, are you ready for this? 82,000 emails.
When I first read this fact, 82,000, that's just a monstrous number.
Yeah.
But then I calculated if we knew each other just for a year and exchanged 82,000 emails in a year, that's roughly 225 emails a day.
That seems completely unbelievable.
Day.
How does that even happen?
But, you know, if you're talking – because, like, Twitter maybe wasn't a big thing and you're emailing like it was a text.
Yeah, instant messaging.
An email could have been like, hey, what's up? Good. You know, it could have been just a conversation, in which case that would have been totally fine.
No, totally. That
but
makes
200
sense.
But 225 emails a day is – are you doing anything else?
Like, what are you doing besides emailing people? Yeah. Well, let's get into who Jody Arias was.
Okay. Which is obviously part of the case.
Obviously.
So Jody Arias was born in 1980 and grew up in the pleasant town of Salinas, California. From a young age, she loved art, photography, super culture. She would shoot photos of everything around her. She actually had a very troubled relationship with her parents, and she barely spoke to her mother.
I thought this was an interesting point because now we see that both of them, both Travis and Jody, come from these kind of like weird parental backgrounds.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So that might be a cause for their connection.
Yeah, exactly.
A legal analyst actually told Snap she was a little bit of a rebel as a teenager, as many teens are, but she really took it to a higher degree than most teens. Actually, at 17, she drops out of high school and moves in with her boyfriend. I'm scared to move in with my girlfriend after like 19 years of dating and you know, 45 years old.
Yeah.
She moves in at 17.
Yeah, she was ready to go. I also didn't know that detail that she dropped out of high school. We've all been following the Jodi Arias stuff in some capacity.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't remember that detail, so that's interesting.
Well, for many years, she obviously moved from boyfriend to boyfriend through Southern California. She took some community college classes, and she took her photography more seriously. I think that's what she was really passionate about.
Yeah.
She was never successful, unfortunately, at having a photog business, and she mostly worked as a waitress, as a lot of people do, because you make a lot of money and you don't need to be
fucking
Mensa to be a waitress or waiter. It's common sense and it's a lot of hard work.
Right.
Jody actually worked at 10 different restaurants, and at age 26, she was starting to feel a little bit desperate. That's when a friend told her about Prepaid Legal Services, which is where Travis worked.
Right.
However, after she got there, she never performed well in the company.
Yeah. So then now we're going to talk about Jody and Travis. So While they seemed to be a good match, Travis made it clear that he could not date anyone that wasn't a member of the Mormon Church. So that was just a standard he had as it stood with his religion.
Yeah, remember, he grew up in the, I mean, when he was 10 right. and on, yeah, you know, yeah. he developed that.
On November 26, 2006, do you remember where you were?
Well, that was like Thanksgiving mm-hmm. of my first year in college. Yeah. So I was home probably right. wanting to go back to school.
To school. Yeah, yeah. exactly. On November 26, 2006, just 2 months after they met, Jody was baptized and became Mormon, with Travis even assisting with the ceremony. So
that
I don't
seems
know.
Like a rush.
2 months, even in a relationship, even if you guys are super falling in love, that's really quick to change your religion. You know what I mean?
But then again, she's moving in with boyfriends at 17.
Right.
So
this isn't even that different.
Yeah, that's, it's not that big of a deal. She's just dunked in her
in water.
Take a drink,
because Darren, that's a good point.
Yes.
Yes. A friend of Travis's said, he asked him, quote, Travis, is she doing this for you? Is she sincere about this? He goes, oh, no, no, this is what she wants. So it seems like Travis at least thought this was completely sincere. So that's interesting. By February of 2007, Jody and Travis were officially a couple. Although Jody still lived in Palm Desert and Travis in Arizona, Jody regularly made the drive in order to spend time with him. As a reporter told Snapped, quote, they traveled extensively. We see lots and lots of pictures of them in all sorts of places.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's I mean, if you Google image both of
yeah,
them,
totally.
It's documented.
Yeah, it's all on Google. Jody Arias told 48 Hours that he bought the book 1,000... that Travis bought the book, 1,000 Places to See Before You Die. And she said they began to check those places off a list one by one.
Which is kind of cute.
Yeah, that is kind of cute,
I
actually.
Like that idea.
Yeah. As long as, you know,
depending
you're not
on the
dating
place.
A murderer, right?
Yeah, yeah, well...
Other than that, of course, Mormons are supposed to be celibate until they get married, and many people in Travis's life thought he was holding out until he got married. Now, in all caps, just entered into our note show notes here,
oh,
it
no.
says, Matt, I'm going to read it like it reads, Matt has a story which we can edit out if we want later!
Oh,
exclamation, exclamation,
that sounds
exclamation.
Just like Matt.
Thank you. Yes,
you're
I
welcome.
Try my hardest. Mm-hmm. Okay, Matt, come tell us the story. Here's the microphone again. Just be careful.
For podcast listeners, just skip a couple 15 seconds and we'll be back to the story.
Okay. So in high school, I lived with a Mormon family. My best friend was Mormon. Well, he's not really Mormon at all, but his parents are Mormon. And he had a lot of brothers, as Mormons often do. And we were having a family dinner one night, and another one of his brothers was a fashion designer in New York who was home for like a week. And I had no clean laundry, and I needed a shirt.
Did you wear Mormon underwear?
It's not called underwear. I went into the laundry room, and I was trying to find some kind of shirt, and I saw this t-shirt, and there were this stitching over the nipples, and it was like the only thing that I could really find that I could wear, and I thought, this is probably the fashion designer. I put it on, we're having spaghetti. We're all sitting around the table.
I know where this is going.
All right. It's a big family dinner. I spill spaghetti on the shirt, and I'm like, you know, wiping it off. And the fashion designer said, Matt, in front of the whole table, why are you wearing Dad's holy undergarments? And the dad just looked at me. I could tell he was furious. He loved me, but I could tell he was furious. And I felt very bad. That's my story.
My God.
You got spaghetti sauce on someone's
unholy
undergarments, Matt.
Wow. Somehow that doesn't surprise me, though.
No, it doesn't.
That makes sense.
I love that he was just like,
things.
Oh, I don't know style. So this is in.
So this thing
He's
is
probably
going
to come into work tomorrow wearing like a
yeah.
habit. And he'd be
Absolutely.
Like, I don't know. This was left this by was, my doorstep.
I
and
found it on the
this
subway.
This seems chic. Like, that's what he's going to come in and do.
Well,
come in with like a priest's thing.
By the way, Matt has lived, right? Like,
he
I
really
feel
has.
Like every week we have a new corner of his life to uncover.
I was going
to
be like, why are you living with these people? But then I was like, do I really care?
You,
no.
Yeah, exactly. It's all unexplained.
It's
basically.
All Matt. Yeah.
Moving on. Thank you, Matt, for that story. That was funny. But Jody told 48 Hours, quote, there was an attraction, and you know it. It found an outlet on occasion. So
that's implying
that maybe he wasn't super strict with his religion. Let's put it that way.
Or at least that sexual part of the religion.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
In fact, an investigator did say that Travis told some friends that he thought Jody was actually a nymphomaniac and that, quote, she couldn't get enough. Jody believed that you bring a person closer to you by giving to him sexually, a man, I should say. Jody wanted to marry Travis and have kids with him. Meanwhile, Travis was beginning to tell some friends that he enjoyed Jody but wasn't serious about her long term. It was more lust than love. An author tells Snap, quote, he wanted someone that was chaste and pure and was an ideal Mormon, and Jody was never going to be that.
Do you think it's because she spilled spaghetti sauce all over her undergarments?
That's probably what it
was. That's probably what it is. Yeah. That's definitely what it is.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
After only 5 months of dating in June 2007, the couple broke up.
Ooh, so okay. So probably,
a lot has happened, by the way, in 5 months. Let's put it that way.
It was a serious, I mean, he knows it's lust, not love. He knows it's not long term. She's driving 5 hours every single fucking weekend. So this is an intense relationship already. I mean, definitely. She converted to Mormons.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A lot was going on.
Well, after the breakup, Jody moves from California to Arizona, just 10 minutes from his house.
After they break up.
What we call this now is a stage 5 clinger. That's yes. What we say now. It was a move that Jody said Travis actually encouraged. Mm-hmm. So she actually told 48 Hours there were also some innuendos, I think, as far as we could still hang out. 48 Hours asked if she was referring to being friends with benefits. And Jody replies, sort of.
Okay, so I mean, this isn't that crazy.
Plenty of people are friends with benefits.
Yeah, I mean, especially out of relationships. I know a lot of friends of mine, people in my life, you know, they kind of keep it together. You don't have to be in a relationship to have, you know, a normal adult kind of, well, relationship, I guess I should say, with another person. You know,
but her living here. 10 minutes away now just feels like it's going to complicate everything.
Yeah.
So Jody, in the meantime, was waiting tables. And according to Fox News, she sometimes cleaned Travis's house for extra cash. Can we pause there for a minute? I don't want to say that it sounds degrading because I don't think cleaning houses is degrading at all. I don't think that type of service industry is degrading at all.
Yeah.
But it feels this weird power dynamic in a relationship where she's doing this and being paid by him.
Right. Because she's the ex, because she now moved 10 minutes away, it feels like if I'm Travis at this point, I'm like, maybe don't put her in your life like that.
Yeah, that you just know? You're complicating the friends with benefits. You're also my employee. I don't know.
Yeah.
It all feels a little bit, it's like something Matt would do.
Thank you.
You're
that's
welcome.
Perfect. Exactly.
So now you know not to do that.
Yes, perfect.
Actually, Travis started dating other women, which complicates it even further.
Yeah.
Even so, according to prosecutors, there was some sexting that was still going on between him and Jody.
Okay, and yes, we have some of these texts.
Okay, we do. I think we're going to read some of them for you, John. I think John should read them because to me, Matt, agree or disagree, it's not only is it his part, but like I could see Matt saying this.
No.
I mean, I could see John saying this.
John would never say any of these things. And so because I am uncomfortable saying what's in these texts,
I'm not, so I'll say them for you.
I know you wouldn't, but Darren, to be honest, I was thinking of you as well.
Right.
Matt's my boss and he demands that I read these.
Yep.
I decided the best way to do this is to have artificial intelligence read this. And I'm going to have Siri read this part of the show so that none of us have to be on record as saying any of these
things. Are we sure this is going to come across as well in recording?
It doesn't matter at this point.
Because I think it really is key for the case.
It is key for the case. And Darren, you can say it afterwards if you'd like. Okay. So here's the first part. Here, Siri, take it away.
In January of 2008, Jody texted Travis, I fell asleep. But to answer your question, yes, I want to grind you. And I want to be loud. And I want to give you a nice warm mouth hug, too.
Okay, thank you, Siri. That's so the first one.
The first one, I'm going to read it just to make sure that the listeners get it.
To get the record correct.
Because you're the biggest pussy I ever met, John.
Go ahead.
In January of 2008, according to the Huffington Post, Jody texts Travis, I fell asleep. But to answer your question, yes, I want to grind you, and I want to be loud, and I want to give you a nice warm mouth hug.
Don't ever say that. I hate those two words.
Is it the part
together.
That's like warm mouth hug, or is it the mouth hug?
It's all of it. It's all of it.
You know what? I don't mind the word warm, but sometimes warm in context is so gross.
Sure.
Warm mouth hug?
That's one of the most.
You would have read it if
things.
It said icy cold.
No,
mouth
I
hug.
Wouldn't have. No, I wouldn't have. She also texted Travis.
Yeah, this one's you, John.
This is the P word, and I will not be saying it. Here we go. Take it away, Siri.
My pussy is so wet.
Is this Howard Stern? Are we doing the Howard Stern show now?
This feels wrong.
It feels very wrong.
Are we going to have to pay Siri now?
Yes.
As like a podcast host because you're not capable of reading those lines?
We're going to give Siri a credit on this week's episode.
In case you didn't know, it was my pee is so
it's
wet.
It's so wet, yes. And I cannot stand that. And
he can't say it. John can't say vagina. I tried to get him to say vagina for like 8 days
this
straight.
This was during the live show, by the way, you wanted me to
even
do that.
Even before look, backstage, and I was like, say vagina.
Look, I am not a prude. I will put this out there. Anyone who knows me knows
that. You hate
that I'm
women.
Not.
It's fine.
There's that.
Obviously,
I'm doing a show with you, so I hate this.
Women. Yeah.
I hate everything about it. No, that's not true at all. Anyway, I'm just glad we've moved on from this part of the show, and I really think we need to move on to the next subject.
Matt, I feel like you need to have like an employee survey of things
exactly.
that John could do better at his job, and this is one of them.
Oh, my God.
So,
sorry,
Jody
Matt.
Actually wasn't the only one sexting. Travis texted Jody to send me a naughty picture, which, by the way, moral of the story, don't fucking send naughty pictures with your face in the goddamn
thing. Yeah,
that's
true, yeah.
According to Travis's friends, Jody began stalking him. She even followed him on his dates. An author told Snap he'd find her sleeping on his couch. Get this. Once he found her hiding behind his Christmas tree when he came downstairs
oh
in
God.
The morning.
That's insane.
What?
That's insane.
I wouldn't want anyone hiding behind it. It's terrifying.
It's like there's Elf on the Shelf and there's like Jody on the tree.
Stalker on the... Yeah, exactly. A reporter explained she would find ways to let herself into his house by either crawling through the doggy door or she knew that Travis never locked the glass sliding door. How tiny are you that you're getting through a doggy door?
And it also seems like, okay, this is after they broke up, right? Like, isn't this all like really crazy red flag things that
but
you should
be... But there's that friends with benefits line there.
Oh, true,
and
yeah.
she might be reading into it a little bit more. I mean, according to what Travis is telling his friends, it's not what Jody is saying he's texting her.
Yeah, true.
So there's a lot of he said, she said here. And after spending the night at his new girlfriend's house, Travis walks out to find his tire slashed. Mm. The same thing happened again the following night. By the way, way to get your tires fixed very quickly.
Yeah, I would say. Good for him.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. He's a go-getter, man.
When his girlfriend came over to his house, her tires were slashed too. So this is clearly intentional, clearly some sort of stalking thing going on. Travis told his friends, if anything ever happens to me, Jody did it.
I remember this from the case when it was happening, and I was like, so it's very clear, it's like he was aware of
he
the type
He felt a
of
little
things.
Threatened.
Yeah, yeah.
He never reported any of these incidents, and after he broke up with his new girlfriend, Jody moved back home to California. By the way, you should probably report when your tires are slashed three different times consecutive days or once and then twice. She explained to 48 Hours, you know you love someone and it's hard to think. And I really love this person, but I know I'm never going to be with him. And I know I'm not going to marry him. I knew that I needed to make some changes. Mm. So this is Jody. And this quote tells me doing a little self-reflection.
Right.
Maybe she's trying to get the reality of the situation. She's not going to marry him.
Yeah.
A friend of Travis's told 48 Hours that he was genuinely excited when she left.
That's not a good sign. Yeah, that's not a good sign if you're Jody Arias.
But Jody actually told 48 Hours that Travis was still calling her. Quote, he would call me at night, she said, and he would tell me the things that he would like to see happen when he came up to visit me, to put it in a G-rated manner. Now, for those of you who want to know what she's talking about, you're going to have to ask Siri.
Yeah.
Because she's exactly. the only one who can talk dirty on this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Siri's going to be the one talking dirty. I like that. Moving forward from this episode on.
Siri's parents, you think Siri's parents are going to be upset when they hear her saying all those things?
Yeah, they're going to definitely call.
Siri, I'm upset with you.
And then they'll be like, I found this on the web for you.
Yeah, exactly. This is forever.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the murder. On June 9th, 2008, Travis's friend Mimi Hall and a couple others decided to stop by Travis Alexander's house in Mesa, Arizona to check up on him. Travis had invited Mimi along for a free trip to Cancun.
Nice.
But in the days leading up to their departure, no one had heard from him. He had missed appointments, hadn't been answering his phone, and he was scheduled to leave for Mexico shortly. So these are all telltale signs something is definitely not going on.
Yeah, when you're taking your friend on a trip and you don't hear from them for a few days.
That's odd. Travis's friend said, quote, the night before we were to fly to Cancun, his voicemail box was completely full, and I knew something was wrong at that point.
By the way, do you keep your mailbox completely full on your phone?
You know what? I have, like, the iPhone with, like, the visual voicemail or whatever, and I don't ever delete them. And honestly, like, people don't call and leave me voicemails anymore.
Right. I don't like voicemails.
Yeah.
But it very much so bothers me when voicemail boxes are full.
Oh, yeah. That's so annoying.
Even with my parents or someone I'm dating, I'm like, please don't do this. Because in the event of an emergency and I can't leave you a million voicemails, that scares me.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Take a drink.
Take a drink.
When they got to his house, they ran into Travis's roommate who said, quote, he's in Cancun. He's been gone on vacation. She replied, no, he's not. He's supposed to leave with me tomorrow. So his roommates weren't completely aware of his travel arrangements.
I mean, it is a 4,000 square foot house. So granted, they probably don't have tabs on each other completely. And boys are dumb. But at the same time, like... Wouldn't you know?
We talked about this during the live episode last week. We were both saying, like, if I slipped and fell in the bathtub, it would be a long time before someone knew.
Right. I mentioned the Andy thing where it's like, I live by myself. No one's ever going to find me. But again, he's in sort of this mini frat house. Like,
yeah.
And you're saying he left to go on Mexico and you didn't even see him leave?
Yeah.
It's just, that's odd.
Mimi asked if she could check his room. And when she approached, a rancid smell was coming from under his door.
Not so surprising because it's a boy's house.
That's a good, I was almost going to say that's a good point, but it is a good point.
Yeah.
Because I've lived with a couple of guys.
Boys are gross.
They're really disgusting.
Disgusting.
Truly
gross.
The worst of humanity comes out when two men live
especially
together.
A bathroom. Like, get out of here. Get out of here.
That being said, girls with long hair in the bathroom.
Listen, agreed with you.
I'm just like,
I agree with you too. Girls are gross too. Everyone, just like, be mindful.
I know.
Hair is disgusting.
Yeah.
Clean it up, whether it's long or short, curly or straight.
Yeah.
Make that shit go away.
Google self-care and just take lessons from that.
Yeah, damn.
Well, when they opened the door, they saw blood on the floor, sheets off the floor, and one light shining from the bathroom. Inside the bathroom, Travis was laying naked, bloodied, and decomposing in the shower. So horrific. He had 27 stab wounds, a slit throat, and a gunshot to the head. Mimi immediately called the police. So here's her, here's the friend who was expecting to go to Cancun with him and finds him, naked and bloody in the bathroom.
Yeah, it's casual. It's totally casual.
So she calls the police. The dispatcher says, what's going on, Mimi? A friend of ours is dead in his bedroom. Dispatcher, how did this happen? Do you have any idea? Caller, Mimi says, no, we have no idea. Everyone's been wondering about him for a few days. Dispatcher, has he been threatened by anyone recently? I thought this was interesting that the dispatcher went immediately to, okay, who's threatening him?
That might be just the first initial lead.
Yeah. Mimi says, yes, he has. He has an ex-girlfriend that's been bothering him, and her name is Jody. So Mimi was aware of this person.
Everyone's
as well.
Aware that something's going on.
When detectives arrived, they saw blood on the walls, floors, mirrors, sink, bathroom, and up to 6 feet high on the blinds. Travis had been stabbed 27 times.
6 feet high on the blinds?
I'm assuming from the blood splatter, right?
That's force.
Several times from behind. His throat had been slit ear to ear. Horrific. Ugh. And he had been shot one time in the head. And the shell, I didn't know this either. The shell casing was sitting on top of the blood, showing that it had been the final injury. So basically what they were able to deduce from that was that the shell casing came off after the blood splatter.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Matt. That's you to repeat. I'm not saying it.
Matt wanted to know if that made her really wet, which I feel like is very inappropriate,
Matt.
I hope your parents are listening to this too, Matt. You and Siri. Potty mouths.
Oh my gosh. Travis also had defensive wounds, deep knife cuts into the skin of his palms. There was no signs of forced entry, and many of his belongings were sitting out in plain sight, but were not stolen.
So this doesn't seem like a robbery.
Right. His roommates had no idea what had occurred and had actually been coming and going, not knowing of the gruesome scene inside the room, which I find so terrifying to know that, like, that would really haunt me if I knew that I was, like, you know, just living my life with a dead body next to me.
Like, for days.
Yeah, for days on end. In fact, the body had been sitting there for 4 or 5 days before anyone had noticed anything was wrong.
Ugh.
An author told Snapped, quote, they had noticed that there was something smelling a little funny, but weren't there at home that much. And it was a bachelor pad. And for all we know, I mean, he just left some dishes or something like that.
You leave a dish in the sink for a day and it smells like a decaying body. After a couple hours. You know what I mean?
It's terrible. I've had roommates that have left dishes like that. It's the worst.
It is the worst.
When the police asked Travis's friends... When the police asked, Travis's friends figured they knew the killer's identity, Jody Arias.
So everyone's sort of naming Jody as, like, their main suspect here.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Investigators would need hard evidence in order to pursue her. The crime scene was extensive and also revealing. There were long hairs in the bathroom. But without DNA testing, without DNA testing, it was not readily apparent whose they were. Outside the door dividing the bathroom and bedroom, there was a palm print smeared in blood on the wall that was not from Travis. And remember, you said that his palms had been, like, deeply wounded. So that's interesting. Investigators took print samples and DNA swabs, but the most intriguing discovery was in the laundry room, where stuffed in the washing machine with a load of towels and underwear was a digital camera. The digital camera had been damaged from the water, but the memory card was actually intact. The evidence was sent to a lab for analysis with no immediate leads, but when the detectives returned to the station, they found Jody had actually been trying to contact them.
Mm-hmm.
She started reaching out to the lead detective within 24 hours of the dead body being found. So there's a little dialogue here. Do you want to be Detective Flores and I'll be Jody?
Yes, perfect.
Okay.
Hello. Could I speak with Jody, please?
This is Jody.
I heard that the detective introduces himself. Sorry, and then this is you. I'm misreading.
Do you
want to
read? Do you want to be Jody Arias?
I thought it said detective. Keep going.
So you introduce yourself.
Yes.
I heard that he passed away, and that his roommate found him, or his friend found him, or people were. I'm sorry. I'm upset. I just wanted to offer any assistance that I might have. I was a really good friend of Travis's.
You haven't been back in town since then?
No, I haven't at all. Well, I did see him since he moved. He's supposed to make a trip up here at the end of the month because there's a book called 1,000 Places to See Before You Die, and we sort of got into that last year. We were starting to see all these different places on the list.
People, some of his closest friends, began mentioning your name as, you know, hey, you need to call her because she probably knows what happened to him, or she probably had something to do with it.
Oh, gosh. No,
I needed to talk to you to find out why they would say something like that. Why would they start pointing fingers in your direction right away?
I don't know. Maybe because I'm his ex-girlfriend. And obviously, when asked about what happened in the relationship, I am about to give a very different answer. Than what they heard from Travis's friend. So here I am again at Jody.
Okay.
I had the suspicion that he was cheating on me, and so I looked in his phone to find out, and I found all of these text messages. We decided to remain friends, but, you know, I kind of feel embarrassed talking about this. We were intimate. I wouldn't say romantic.
Intimate does that include, like, a sexual relationship with him?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, I know it's kind of embarrassing to talk about stuff like that.
I know, yeah, and if you could just keep it confidential for now. We just both realized that neither of us could be in an adult relationship, and we continue to see each other, yeah, a long time after that.
Well, you know, I'm glad I did get a hold of you and you did call me, because it kind of clears up a lot of the questions that I had, a lot of the concerns. End scene. Wow.
Wow. Thank
that
you.
That was a lot. I really channeled. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
I really channeled my inner thespian.
You did?
Here with my inner lesbian.
You're the inner lesbian.
So let's keep going.
Investigators then ask Jody's fingerprints and DNA, and she readily agrees, drives to Arizona to meet the detectives. This, to me, the fact that she so readily agrees,
yeah.
I don't know. Something's, like, not right.
Yeah, I feel like we've heard this a couple times over the past, you know, 40 episodes. There always seems to be, like, the person that's like, yeah, I'll gladly help you. And then it's like, oh, yeah, they're the killer. You know?
Right, or people are like, absolutely not, and they don't end up being the killer at all. They just don't want to do
right,
it.
Right.
It's very odd. Meanwhile, the forensics lab had processed the camera's memory card and found random photos of Travis and his friends. However, they then found the deleted data on the card.
I didn't even know you could do that
Me
on a memory card.
Either.
Yeah.
God damn it. The deleted images documented the final hookup between Jody and Travis just 5 days before his body was found and showed time-stamped images of Jody's naked body on Travis's bed, as well as naked photos of Travis. The images are incredibly explicit, basically homemade porn, and showed Jody had lied about not seeing Travis, as she said she hadn't seen him.
Right, she said she hadn't seen him, yeah.
After the post-coital photographs, another very chilling series of deleted images was found on the memory card, time-stamped about 3 hours later. The photo showed Travis naked in the shower, looking directly into the camera. The final three images were blurry and apparently taken by accident. A reporter tells us, you see the shoulder of Travis and his head, and you see drops of blood.
Now, go ahead with the next point, because I think
Final photograph shows Travis dead at the bottom of the shower.
Right.
So it's a progression of something going down. It's almost like a sexual encounter gone wrong.
Yeah, you can Google, Jody Arias memory card if you want, and you can see those images. Now, they're, like, super tiny. Maybe they were, like, you know, they're not maybe supposed to be online potentially. I don't really know. But you totally see like essentially the last moments of his life. It's horrible.
Well, why the photograph? Matt's showing it to us.
Yeah. Oh, click this one over in the second row far right. It shows all the last moments there.
Second row,
that one. Yep.
Oh my God.
So here he is alive in the shower, hanging out. And then the last three are the blurry ones. And then the last one's the bathtub. Kind of disturbing.
Well, while these photographs show Travis's last moments alive, they were a few hours apart from the images of Jody. So investigators kind of had to wait for the DNA and fingerprint evidence to have a solid case against her, because there is that sort of time lapse there where
right.
you can't say beyond the reasonable doubt.
Sure.
After a few weeks of processing, the DNA analysis showed Jody's blood at the scene as well. She'd apparently cut herself and left an incredible amount of evidence behind. The long hair investigators had found was also hers. So the case against her is pretretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
On July 9th, 2008, a grand jury indicted Jody for the murder of Travis Alexander. 6 days later, she was under arrest. She was overtly cooperative when she was arrested at her grandmother's house and seemed somewhat oblivious that she was being charged with first-degree murder. As detectives arrested her, she asked, is there any way I can get my makeup on?
Can you believe that?
Hey,
I was like,
girl's gotta look good.
I guess. I don't
You're
know.
You're made to be in the press. Girl gotta look good. Jody continued to act nonchalantly in her arrest interview, denying that she had anything to do with Travis's murder.
Okay, back to
here's
acting.
Here's another scene. You're going to be detective and I'm going to be Jody again.
Were you at Travis's house on Wednesday?
Absolutely not. I was nowhere near Mesa. I was nowhere near Phoenix.
What if I could show you proof you were there? Would that change your mind?
I wasn't there.
Be honest with me, Jody. You were at Travis's house. You guys had a sexual encounter.
Are you sure that's me? I mean, that because I was not there.
Jody, it's you. And you know it's you. I want to know why. Why did you do this to him?
I wouldn't hurt Travis. He's done so much for me.
There's so much evidence in that house. So much. And it all points to you. I know you took pictures of him in the shower just before he died.
I don't think he would allow that.
Mm-hmm. And the camera actually took a couple of photos by accident during the time he was being killed.
Really?
End scene.
Did you like my dramatic, Jody? Thank you.
It was very Scooby-Doo,
thank
which
you.
I appreciated. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she continued to deny her involvement and claimed it must be some kind of mistake. She says, of course her prints and hair were there. She practically lived there for months. Now, to be fair, DNA I mean,
can be really anywhere.
Even if you've never been to my apartment, your DNA, if we high-fived, could be in my apartment.
I think about that all
the
time.
There is some truth to that. Hours of denial did not help Jody. She did not confess, but investigators still booked her on murder charges, and she actually asked the detective if she could primp and fix herself up before her mugshot was taken.
Well, and, you know, to carry on with what you were just saying, it's one thing about the hair, the excessive amounts of blood, there's no explaining that. I mean, to me, that makes
Do I need to tell you about how women's cycles are?
No.
Okay,
thank you.
Just
please
Siri?
Don't go there. No, Siri doesn't want to do that either.
That's the part two.
Yeah, that
part. Okay, that's
part
two.
We'll save that for part two. But again, like, you know, like you just said, the hair could be anywhere, but the blood really kind of made it obvious.
Also, her mugshot made
this case famous. Oh, yeah, her mug, I mean.
Matt's giving us a note.
Matt is talking to us about her mugshot and how it made her famous. And if you look it up on Google, I mean,
yeah.
The fact that she wanted to put a makeup, the fact that she was sort of this pretty girl who really cared about her appearance, it's a famous mugshot. You should absolutely see it. We should have had Bloody Marys today.
Oh.
Just saying that.
All right.
Just saying.
He can only do so much. I mean, our drinks are blood.
No, they're
colored.
Delicious.
Yeah.
I wish my blood looked like that.
The case against Jody gets weirder. So after spending the first night in jail, Jody contacted the investigators and requested a second interview. She refused to admit responsibility for the crime, but she did claim that she knew who did it and that she witnessed the murder. So
okay.
Apparently that wasn't something worth mentioning the first time around. Interesting.
Yeah, that's just like a casual thing.
Yeah.
I didn't do it, but how?
In her new story, two masked intruders had killed Travis. They did not say why, but the intruders were there for Travis and after much contemplation decided not to kill her and only him. More acting.
Yeah,
here.
Okay, ready?
This
I'm
is
Jody
a very
again.
Acting heavy episode.
I'm Jody.
All right.
He said, we need to leave, and don't you call anybody. Don't you say anything, and don't you act like anything happened. He's all, I'm giving you one chance.
They left you alive and let you go? That never happens. Why would anybody do that? You just left? You didn't run to the neighbors? You didn't try calling? You knew they were in his house. You had time to run to the neighbor. Why didn't you do that?
I was really scared. I was really freaked out. They got my address. They know where my family is.
You know, I came in here hoping that you would tell me the truth. And this is not the truth, Jody. I'm looking directly at you as I say this, by the way.
Scene.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Like I said, like we said on last week's episode, we're looking to EGOT. We want an Emmy.
We
want
love
a Grammy.
An
we
EGOT.
Want an Oscar. And we won a Tony. What's the podcast Oscars? Why aren't we winning that?
Exactly.
But anyway, let's talk about in the media.
Yeah.
So the national press immediately began covering the case of the incredibly gruesome murder by the very attractive 28-year-old blonde, because that's how these things
would
go.
Would we say very attractive?
I don't know that we would. I don't know
Matt?
That we would. Matt?
I mean,
I obviously will not be commenting on women because I'm a gay man.
That's right. You can't.
I can't.
You have
it's
no
impossible.
Authority.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Jody clearly was aware of the media attention, asking to put on makeup again before her arrest and comb her hair before her mugshot. She wanted to be in control of the story and in front of the cameras. She soon had a press conference for local and national media outlets.
Wow. Homegirl is milking.
A journalist explains, quote, she's doing interviews with 48 Hours, Inside Edition, major networks. It's got a lot of layers to it. Here's a woman who brutally killed her boyfriend. There's religion, there's sex, there's lies.
Who doesn't want a scandal like that, though? In the news,
yeah.
News just eats
makes,
that shit up, which is why we all remember this case.
Exactly. It makes it way more almost digestible if you can kind of gossip about
exactly.
stuff. Exactly. Yeah. A 24-hour media frenzy over the case began and was only heightened when the district attorney announced that they would be seeking the death penalty. The trial itself reveals incredibly shocking allegations and became one of the great media spectacles of the decade. And we will be covering all of this and all of the craziness of the trial in the next episode, part two of our Jody Arias coverage.
Is
so,
that going to be all Siri just saying the podcast?
It will be,
on your
yes,
part?
Siri saying everything.
Cool. Just Siri just saying it all.
Yeah. Matt's.
I mean, it'd just be easier.
Matt's heckling me.
Siri's also
going to
be drinking, making her drinks.
Siri will have her
she's
own.
She's drunk.
A Mar-Siri instead
yeah,
of a Martini.
That's right.
Yeah, so that'll be on next week's episode. Stay tuned for that. And that's it for this week's coverage.
Yes.
Let's get to shout outs and voicemails.
Let's
which
do
we
it.
We haven't really had a chance to do.
Exactly. So this reason. Is like, this is an exciting fun
yeah.
time. J. Margot Critch on Twitter says, I don't know, but I think that the Martinis and Murder Crew is too mean to Matt.
Aww.
He brings you alcohol, guys.
Oh, we're just so mean.
At Oxygen Crime.
Hmm.
No.
No. I would disagree.
Listen, J. Margot Critch, love you. You're a beautiful person.
You don't know what goes on in this
but
studio.
You don't understand the heartache that we have to go through every... I mean,
every
I had
day.
To listen to Matt say... Does that make her wet today? You don't fucking know what
the
that's like.
The abuses we go through.
It's insane.
Patricia on Twitter says, best martinis in murder ever. So funny. Wish I could have been at Caroline's. Too far away. Thanks. Sorry that you couldn't be there, Patricia.
We missed you, Patricia.
But let us know where you are so that maybe we can plan something down the road.
And don't forget, guys, to follow Matt's mysterious and disturbing Instagram account at @Matt_the_bartender.
It's pretty funny. All right, let's move on to voicemails now.
Okay.
So I think we should start with your friend Alexandra.
Obviously.
Obviously. So let's listen to Alexandra's.
Hi, guys. My name is Alexandra from St. Pete, Florida. I just wanted to call and thank you guys for having my coworkers think I'm a total freak walking around listening to my headphones saying, oh, shit. Oh, no, he didn't. Yeah, that's been fun. Anyways, just wanted to say keep up the great work and... Darren, you're a total babe. I creeped on your Twitter. You're hot. So that's about it. And you're hot too, John. # don't go to house parties. Oh, and fuck you, Matt. Bye.
Thank you, Alexandra.
Thank you. Well, she thinks we're hot and fuck you, Matt. So I'm into that voicemail. That was the first one I heard and I was loving it.
Well, this particular one sounds like it was a clear, like, she's going to call in and hit on you and only you.
Well.
And then gave me a pity. Oh, and by the way, you're hot too, John. Bye. You know? So I found that very rude.
I'm glad you understood that it was a pity hot.
It definitely was.
Yeah.
Okay.
But fuck you, Matt was real.
That was real. Yeah. She was very sincere
there.
That was
sincere.
All right. Let's listen to, this is from Erica.
Yes.
Hey guys, this is Erica. I live in Edmond, Oklahoma, but I'm originally from West Texas. Recently, probably last Monday, I was listening to the Insane Clown Murder. And then not too long after that, I found out that this year's Gathering of the Juggalos was this past weekend in Oklahoma City. So I took your advice, got away from the Juggalos, and I went back home for the weekend. Because, well, I don't want to be murdered. And also, I just want to say, please be nice to Matt only when it comes to the drink. I am a professional bartender, and nothing hurts my feelings more when people complain about my drink. But anything else y'all want to rag on him for, totally do it, because he deserves it. All Matts deserve it. I also want to say I love you guys. I look forward every Sunday and Monday to listening to your next podcast. I'm about to actually fire up the new one that just came out today, and I can't wait to hear it. Love y'all.
Thank you, Erica.
Thank you.
I don't know that we'll ever end up in Oklahoma City, maybe.
Why wouldn't we?
But it's good that you left all the Juggalos. You never know what they're going to do, you know, the Gathering of the Juggalos. You never know what's going to happen.
You never know what's going to happen.
We mentioned
family.
That on last week's episode, so that's so funny that you mentioned it.
Here's one last one I wanted to play for you guys.
Hey, John and Darren. This is Katie calling from the Big Apple, NYC. Longtime listener, first-time caller, big fan of the podcast. I have a question for you both. If I've learned anything from you, it's that, you know, you should beware of house parties and that murder makes you hungry. If you committed a murder and wanted to grab some grub after, which drive-thru would you hit up and why?
I know who left this voicemail.
Okay.
She was at Caroline's.
Oh.
She got a shout out.
Was she the one, was she someone that asked a question? Over on the left?
Probably.
Okay. You're like, I was too drunk.
Too drunk to remember, but I thoroughly enjoy her question.
Yes, this is a good question.
It's a good question, but honestly, Katie, do you not know what we're going to fucking say? Like, are you listening to this podcast or not?
Let's do it on three. One, two, three.
Taco Bell.
Obviously.
Sponsor
Taco
us
Bell.
Right now. Taco Bell.
Cheesy gordita crunches on every
There's
episode.
There's nothing like murdering a human being and going for four cheesy gordita crunches in the drive-thru line.
Yes. All right. Well,
sponsor us.
Yes, sponsor us. I wonder if anyone from Taco Bell is listening.
I hope so. Let us know.
All right. That's it for this week's episode of the show. We'll be back for part two of Jodi Arias.
Next week.
Guess who else will be joining us? Siri.
Yeah. She's our next bartender.
She will be there. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.